If we can turn back to the Old Testament reading in Psalm 26 this morning, and we see David's prayer here. And we'll see how we get on with the help of the Lord in reading this portion of Scripture. It's a prayer by David as he feels himself to be pointed out by others as being having some form of guilt or other over the death of the heirs of Saul, as we see in 2 Samuel chapter 4, where the heirs of Saul are put to death, and the men who do it think they're doing David a great favour in removing any threat to the throne that has been promised to David by the Lord God. But David, it's a prayer, but it's not the way that we would normally pray, isn't it? We wouldn't normally rush into prayer and say, "Judge me, O Lord." We would open our prayer more with a form of grace and thanksgiving, a form of great respect for the Lord our God, giving him his place, given him the authority that is due him. But David, very often, if we read through the Psalms, we'll find David goes straight to the Lord with troubles and matters. And he did so here. "Judge me, O Lord." I wonder how many of us would open our prayer life like that in the morning or afternoon or evening, and say, "Judge me, O Lord." It's asking the Lord to do something that is not really contrary to what the Lord would do. "Judge me." The Lord would judge us, the Lord will judge us, but to go unto the Lord and sort of demand, as David is doing, "Judge me, O Lord," is something that is contrary to our way of thinking and worshipping. And it's a way that David is used here because he has this terrible foreboding, shall we say, over him, that people are going to point the finger at him and blame him and say that he had a hand in the demise of Saul's royal line. But David says, "Judge me, O Lord." He doesn't ask the judgment of his high counselors. He doesn't ask his cupbearer to judge him. He doesn't ask those round about him and his family to judge him. No, David knows where the judgment is. David knows that the Lord knows him. David knows. David didn't have to get rid of Saul's royal line, for the God had promised a crown to David as a mere boy. A mere boy when the old prophet went into his father's house. And there he went through each of David's brothers. And the Lord says, "It's not him, it's not him." And at the end, when the prophet said to Jesse, "Is there another?" And Jesse says, "Well, there's only the lad who's out keeping the sheep." And the prophet says to him, "Bring him in. Fetch him." And as soon as David came into the room, the Lord spoke unto the prophet and said, "This is he. This is he." And David was there at a tender age of a young lad, being anointed to be the future king of Israel. David knew what the Lord had promised him. David understood what the Lord was going to do with his life. And he's seen that when he went into the battle against Goliath. There it was, no armor, just a shepherd's sling and a stone from a brook. And he defeats the Philistines. The Lord was with him. David knows that the Lord was with him. So he asked the Lord to judge him. He says, "Lord, judge me." See that there is no guile in me. See that there is nothing in me that has caused this sin to take place. You see, Heavenly Father, I have walked in mine integrity. My honesty, my uprightness has been before thee in all things. David was like every other man. David would sin, and he would fall in sin many times. And that was natural to him, natural to all of us. There are times when things will overtake us. The Jewish people were forbidden to number the children of Israel, but David did it. David fell in love with Bathsheba, committed adultery, and to cover his adultery, he committed murder. David knew what it would be to sin. But in this instance, in this time, in his earlier days, when he was just coming through the wilderness with Saul, being chased and sought, and sought tried to kill him, or would have, David realized there was far greater judge, a far greater one to go to, and he goes to the Lord, judge me. For the Lord to try him, the Lord to look into his heart, as the Lord must look into our hearts and see our integrity, to see how well it is, how great it is in our life. We have a great responsibility once the Lord had Jesus Christ has washed in his blood. We have that responsibility to walk upright in his name. For it is his righteousness that we walk in, not David. David didn't trust his own righteousness. He knew he was right in heart. He knew he had no hand in the death of Saul's heir. He knew he was free from that sin. But that was his righteousness. He wanted the Lord's righteousness to be over him. He wanted to ensure that the Lord knew his heart was pure and whole. So David bursts right in to the presence of God. He didn't go round and round in roots in his prayer before getting there. He didn't have a great song of praise for God. He went straight into the Lord's throne. Judge me, O Lord. A very difficult thing for any of us to do. But David does it. He says, for I have walked in mine integrity. He's walked in his righteousness. He's walked in the honesty that the Lord placed on him. We look at the time when he had Saul at his mercy. And he says to his servant, I will not kill the Lord's anointed. He knew what was right and wrong. He knew the position that he was to hold. He knew what Saul was hold. Saul had been anointed as king, just as David would be. And he knew that. And his integrity was such that he could not fall from grace in that instance. And like this instance he's in, he now wants the Lord to see, to judge him. I wonder if we opened up our hearts, would we be willing for the Lord to look into us, to see what was hidden, to see what we have kept back from our prayer, our forgiveness? David wasn't afraid. David knew that as soon as he said that, judge me, Lord, the Lord would know everything about him. He writes that, doesn't he, in Psalm 139. It tells us that the Lord knows the very thoughts before they're formed in him. He knows the very words of his mouth before his lips can say them. The Lord knows where he'll be at any given time. So David knows there is nothing that he can keep back from the Lord. Judge me, O Lord. his integrity been pure and holy? I don't think all of us can say that. We've all walked in our integrity and all falling from it. We've all slid from grace from time to time. And even in thoughts, perhaps in the past few days, when we've seen the terrible things and we've had terrible thoughts, perhaps we have slid in our integrity. You know, that's very, very simple. Maybe something that was not like this, not our responsibility, nothing to do with it. But we forget to take it to the Lord and ask him to find us pure again. I have trusted also in the Lord, he says. His trust has been in God to maintain him, to keep him in that promise. He has put that trust in the Lord. The Lord says he will make him a great king, and David's kept that trust. There was nothing that David had to do but except be obedient unto the Lord, and that trust in God is fulfilled. The Lord wouldn't break his promise. The Lord wouldn't remove that promise from David once he had been anointed. That was there. That was assured. That was what David was brought into this world for, to become the king of Israel. He was trusted in the Lord. He put his trust in anything else. There was nothing that David could put his trust in, not in mankind, not in the things of this world. There was only one thing he can say, I have trusted also in the Lord. Like Psalm 23, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. David knew what it was to be a shepherd, to look after the sheep. And he knew that the Lord would guide him and care for him and take him through. There was no reason for David to mucky his heart or his hands in the death of Saul's kinsman. There was no reason. But others thought there was. Others thought they were going to secure the kingdom for David, that they would remove these men who probably had a claim to the throne. But the Lord, not his will. It wasn't his will that that be done. And it wasn't David's. And that's why David comes to the Lord. And he says, I have also trusted in the Lord. David's trust was there. That is our trust. Our trust. We may not have such a great example in our life that we can say, I have trusted in the Lord. We may not have the same burden that David was feeling at this time. But can we say with David, I have trusted also in the Lord? When things have got on top of us, when things are pressing down, when things seem to be crushing us, can we say, I have trusted in the Lord? Have we put our trust in him? Or have we let things overwhelm us to the point that we're almost broken? We almost break. And what does it mean to David to put his trust in the Lord? It meant everything. It meant the fulfilling of God's promise in his life. And it means the fulfilling of God in our life through Jesus Christ. It means that his promise to us will be filled. His promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That promise of Christ for us, have we trust in it? Are we trusting it? Is it secured within us? It was in David. He knew what God wanted for his life. He knew the Lord God who anointed him. We know our Lord and our God. We know the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But is our trust secured in him, wholly upon him? wholly on Christ and only on Christ. Therefore, I shall not slide. And we notice that. It's a therefore. It's not a baby, a maybe. It's not I will not. It is definite. Therefore, he says, I shall not slide. He knows who holds him. He knows who secures him. He knows who has got him in his grip. And he knows that the Lord will uphold him. The Lord won't let him slide. You see, it's like I've said many times, if we're not as close to God as we should be, guess who moved? God doesn't move. The Lord does not move. It is us who take ourselves away and out of the security of the Lord. If we're not as close, don't blame God. Look at ourselves. David had to look at himself. Psalm 51 tells us that. That whole psalm of confession that David confesses before the Lord, that he had sinned against God and God only. David realized he had moved. The Lord hadn't moved. The Lord is still with us, still holding us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That is his promise. David knew that promise. He knew the trust the Lord had in him, and he renewed his trust in God. He put his trust. Therefore, I shall not slide. I shall not slide. Slide from this life. Slide into sin, unconsciously, unknowingly, perhaps even daringly, to try and do something. But that has taken us away from the love of God, taking us away from the grace of God, removing us from the very trust that God has in us, that God has invested in us in Christ Jesus. When we do things, we think we are able and capable of on our own, then we neglect the trust in God. We neglect God's trust. And that is where we slide. That is when we end up sliding away from God. Therefore, I shall not slide. What a testimony in a psalm. Judge me, O Lord. But then David says, for I have walked in mine integrity. Look, Lord, I have done everything in my power. He says, I have trusted in thee to keep me. Therefore, I shall not slide. It's all there. But he goes on, doesn't he? David is asking the Lord deeply, begging the Lord for this search of his life to start and go through everything. Examine me, O Lord. First it's judge me, now it's examine me. He's wanting the Lord to examine him, go right through his heart and his soul, go right through his thoughts and his deeds, and see. Examine me, O Lord. What a way to have the Lord examine us in prayer before him. To bow our heads in prayer and say, examine me, O Lord. Examine me. Hide nothing, because we can't hide nothing from God. He will enter in. He will search the darkest regions of our hearts and soul. He will know. He will know. There is nothing. What was it he said to Nathaniel? Before I saw thee under the olive tree. He knew him. He knew where he was. He knew where the sitting, the disciple would be sitting, that Philip would call when he says, come, see a man that has told us all things. He knew. The woman at the well in Samaria, come, see a man that's told me all things. Is not this the Christ? Come, see. This man, the Lord God, examine me. But he knows us. And why does he know us so well? Why does he know us better than we know ourselves? Because he created us. He's our creator. Just like the potter with that lump of clay on the wheel, and he makes a vessel and he fires it and paints it and puts it up for sale, a perfect vessel. The Lord made us. Let us make man after our own image. The Lord knows us. So when David says, examine me, O Lord, he knew that the Lord would know everything, everything there was about David. Examine me and prove me. Prove me that I have been true. Prove me that I have been faithful. Prove me that I have been thy servant. Thy servant. Prove me. Oh, for the Lord to prove us. You know, like the baker puts the dough aside to improve so as it rises. The Lord proves us through many trials like that to see how we arise to the situations that we may find ourselves in. The Lord tries us. But here David wants a great trial. He wants the Lord to try my reins and my heart, the very essence of the man, the very being of the king, to try everything there is that makes him a worthy, blessed, and man that has been anointed for the position of king of Israel, the Jewish people. You will be my people and I will be your God. The Lord has put in David between the people and himself. The Lord has anointed David to such a high position. King over all the Jewish nations. And this is what David is saying. Examine me, O Lord, prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Does the Lord try us? He has given us a commission also. And he gave us, when we were anointed in the blood of Christ, and we became the anointed sons and daughters through baptism in Jesus Christ, and we became that when we were baptized in the blood of Christ, and we were raised from sinner to saint, so to speak, we were anointed. And we have a commission to preach the gospel. The closing of Matthew's gospel, 28 and verse 19, that is, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you always unto the ends of the earth. The Lord is there with us. Try me and know my heart. Would you like to stand before a judge and be tried, knowing you were innocent, knowing what folk were going to say about you, knowing the lies that they would tell, and the falseness, and you're standing there knowing your innocence? It's a different trial that David's asking for. David's asking for approval of his innocence. He's asking the Lord prove that he's innocent, not to the world, but to David. David's the one who's asking to be judged. David is the one who's needing that reassurance that there is no guilt within him. And we too need that reassurance. We too need that judgment. We need to know that we walk in our integrity. We need to know that the Lord can examine us. And we need to know that the Lord can try us and prove us worthy of Christ's death on Calvary. For that was the price of our redemption. That was the price that was paid for our judgment, was the death of the Son of God on Calvary. David goes on to try and explain his depth of his heart in verse 4. verse 3 says, "For thy loving kindness before mine eyes, I've always got you in front of me. I always see thee, always know thee, I always acknowledge you. I know everything that has happened to me is because you have given it to me. You have given it to me. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes." Loving kindness. Is there much loving kindness in the world today? It would seem that it was far from it. It would seem that it was very distant. There's a great distrust, but not David. Thy loving kindness before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth, the truth of God's word, thy truth. Oh, how David pleads with the Lord, pleading with him, because he knows the enormity of the sin that was carried out. Just as he would learn the enormity of his own sin when he had Uriah put to death in the battlefield to cover his sin with Uriah's wife. He would know the enormity of it. And he would know that loving kindness. The enormity of our sins were so great, they couldn't be removed except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had to send his Son to die on Calvary to give us that loving kindness, to bestow it upon us. And the only way he could do that was to take our sin upon himself and pay the price in Calvary's cross. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes all the time. Everything that happens to us, everything that becomes us is by God's grace. He knows. He is responsible. Nothing happens without the Lord being in control. Nothing happens. Everything is done with his control. He controls the universe. He controls everything. And even this war is under his control. Although we may not think it, we may not see it, but perhaps there is a reason that is unseen to us at this time. But the Lord's loving kindness will be there. It will be before us. And I have walked in thy truth. It's another point to look directly at what David says. I have walked in thy truth. Not my truth. Not the truth of the nation. Not the truth of my closest friends whom I've listened to. Not the truth of my family. But I've walked in thy truth. The truth of God, which became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten Son of God the Father. Thy truth. I have walked in thy truth. Are we walking in Christ? Are we walking with his truth? I have walked in thy truth. In Romans there we read that we were blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 there, we read that very thing. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. Wonderful peace when we walk in the truth of God. There is peace in our heart. The anger of sin is removed when we have Christ in our heart. I have walked in thy truth. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. It's very hard to understand sometimes what the scriptures say to us. It's very difficult for us to put in practice. We're only human. We're all capable of failure and success. We're all that. It doesn't matter who we are. None is greater than the other when it comes to that. But we all have to make a decision one way or the other in our life to follow Christ or to reject him. I have walked in thy truth. He goes on to say he's not sat with vile persons, neither will he go with dissemblers. He's not going in with the wicked ways of the world. He's not going into the places of condemnation that we would look at and we turn away from. The things that we see in society today that abhor us. The way society is going. The way that our educational system wants to lead our very young children. It is an abhorrence to us. There is things in society today that we have to turn our back on. Very difficult. But we have to do it. Because if we can say we haven't sat with vain persons nor with dissemblers, and you have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. You'll not sit with the wicked. This is a very difficult thing to do in a family. And we understand that, and I understand it. We cannot just shut the door on our family because they're not in the church and converted. But we have to realize that with our family, the main thing is that we judge ourselves before we judge others, and that we ask the Lord to overtake them. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. The congregation is the people, the great numbers of people, the great numbers, not just a small amount like we have today in our church, but the congregation means many people, many walks of life, many different varieties, false religions, haters of the gospel. They all make up the congregation of evildoers. And we have to be careful how we have our companion with them and how we walk with them. We will not sit with the wicked. But I want to turn to verse 6 just to prepare for closing this morning. I will wash my hands in innocency. Remember this, I will wash my hands. This was something, a custom, that judges would do or people would do. They would call for a bowl of water. And remember, the great symbol of this was Pontius Pilate. Remember, he takes the water and he says, I wash my hands of this. As though they're washing their hands of the whole attitude, the whole sin that is before them, the whole complaint, whatever it is. They want no part of it. They don't want to know anything about it. So they take this bowl of water and they wash their hands in it, hoping that that will cleanse them from all responsibility. Hoping that that will have no comeback upon them. They wash their hands. But we have to go one place further than washing our hands. We can't call for a bowl of water and a towel and wash our hands of our sins. We can't have them washed away in the water. We have to call on Calvary. We have to call on Christ our Lord. We have to ask him to wash us, not in water, but in his blood that was shed at Calvary. We have to ask him to wash us and cleanse us. It's the only way we can get our sin removed. It's the only way we can be justified. It's the only way we can be recognized as sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. It's the only way that we can stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. For Paul tells us that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And that day is coming. And it would be no good to us going up to the Lord at that day of judgment and say, but I washed my hands. It's not the washing of hands that removes the stain of sin from our soul. It's not the washing of hands in innocence that David is talking about either. What it is for us is that we do not wash. We have to be washed in the blood of Christ. We have to be washed in his blood. If we are to have any relationship as David has with his Heavenly Father, and we are to have any relationship, and we come before the Lord in prayer, we come even to his house to worship him, we have to know that there is a cleansing power far greater than any bowl of water, and that is the shed blood of the Saviour at Calvary. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. I may publish. David wants to go forth. He's asked the Lord to judge him. He's asked the Lord to examine him. He has confessed before the Lord that he hasn't sat with vile persons or dissemblers. He hasn't sat with the congregation of the wicked. And he has washed, as it were, his hands of all that when Christ, when he was anointed by the Lord. In our washing in Christ's blood, we are anointed. We are anointed. And it's that anointing, that will take us to the glory of God. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving. His witness is to go forth and to tell. And he says in Psalm 25, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Do I lift up my soul? Can we do that? Can we say that? Can we worship? Can we give all our thanks to the Lord? And can we go forth and say, he is mine, and I am his. That Christ has washed us. In this opening verse of Psalm 34, the psalmist writes, I will bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I will bless the Lord at all times. That is a testimony of the Christian. That is a testimony of David. He examined. He wanted judging. He wanted the Lord to know that he had kept his promise and was faithful unto the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Is that our witness today? Are we able to come before the Lord with those voice in our heart of blessing? Are we able to go forth and bless the Lord at all times. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. The answer to David's judgment, he sought the Lord. The Lord heard him and delivered him from the fear that was hanging over him. And the Lord does the same for us, and we put our trust in him. I will bless the Lord at all times, and praise shall continually be in my mouth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the example in thy word of thy servant and thy King David. We thank thee, O Father, that even David, a man such as us, could give unto us such wonderful hope in Christ, knowing that when we come to the Lord, not only will he judge us, but he will cleanse us, and he will wash us, and he will give us that new hope that in all things Christ is the only answer to our lives, that in all things we will order all praise and glory to thee, our Heavenly Father. So help us to understand the words of David this morning. Help us to understand what it means to cry, "Judge me, O God," and help us, Father, to cry them before thy throne in Christ our Lord, and for his